Okay, this evening's study, as I mentioned, is going to be the belly of the beast. Actually, it's a two-part study. I've already recorded the second part to this, it didn't necessarily, either of these two studies could be set apart, but both of these two studies together, I think, would make one large study. And it would be called the belly of the beast, but it really is focusing in on the heart of the earth, and it identifies, and the second study is called the two signs. There's an early sign and a latter sign, and so this would be, I think, the first part of that study, again, it's called the belly of the beast. I guess we'll start in Genesis. Is the first place we see this word belly. And by the way, this word belly in the Hebrew that we're looking at is a picture that focuses in, of course, on a belly, and it also identifies with the womb. We see it more clearly, I believe, in the Greek. There is two words. Let me see. Yeah, there is two words in the Hebrew. The first place we see this word belly, though, is in Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. And Jehovah said unto the serpent, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." And as I've started looking at this word belly and seeing the picture of the belly of the beast and so on, this verse in Genesis chapter 3 is an interesting verse. The fact that the food is dust, it is identifying with the field, above all cattle and above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly shalt thou go. In Proverbs we read chapter 20, verse 27, "The spirit of man is the candle of Jehovah, searching all the inward parts of the belly." And we do get the picture of the Lord, you remember, searching the land with a candle. And here the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. The spirit of man, of course, is the Holy Spirit. And the candle of Jehovah, of course, identifies with the light of the gospel. And here we see in Proverbs the picture of the spirit of man being the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. And what I'm proposing here, and as we look a little more at this word belly, I think we're going to see is the belly is identifying with the corporate church. It is the birthing place, the place where two sons are found, and so on. In Proverbs chapter 26, we read in verse 22, "The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly." In Jeremiah, this is where we get the picture of a birthing. In Jeremiah chapter 1, we read in verse 5, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But Jehovah said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their face, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith Jehovah. Then Jehovah put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And Jehovah saith unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down and to build and to plant." And of course, all of this is identifying with the going forth of the gospel. And here, this idea of forming him in the belly, a very interesting picture. You know, we do know this is a two-picture focus here. You know, before thou comest out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. And that, in all likelihood, is speaking of a literal situation, possibly. But I think the spiritual picture here, the big picture here, is identifying with being formed by the Word of God, being formed under the hearing and the preaching in the temple, in the church. And as we're going to look at this word belly, we're going to see how it identifies with the corporate church. And here, the forming, I knew thee before thou camest out of the womb, and I sanctified thee. And what does it mean to be sanctified? To be sanctified is to come under the hearing of the Word of God. And I ordained thee a prophet unto nations, or unto families, or unto peoples, or unto tongues. And later on we see how I have put my words in thy mouth. So we see this picture of the gospel going forth. We see the birthing, the idea of coming forth out of the womb and being under the word, being sanctified and ordained a prophet. In Ezekiel, we read in chapter 3, the causing of the belly to eat in Ezekiel chapter 3 verse 1. Moreover he saith unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, you know, this is interesting phrase here. It is in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And we're going to come up to a verse in let me see where we find that. I think it's in Revelation. Well, I know it is in Revelation. Revelation chapter 10, where it talks about bringing the gospel forward, and in the mouth it'll be sweet as honey, but in thy belly it will be bitter. And that is the opposite. In the mouth, the sweet as honey; in the belly, bitter. You know, the corporate church today sees the sweetness for bitter, and the bitter for sweetness, and the light for darkness, and darkness for light. And so I think we can relate this here in Ezekiel chapter 3 here. Cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with the roll, and I give thee. And then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And we know honey, of course, also identifies with the gospel. And he said unto me, Son of man, go get thee onto the house of Israel, the children of God, and speak with my words unto them. Now this house of Israel, it could be either of two houses. It could be the spiritual house, it could be the carnal house. And I'm not too sure which one it is, but in any event, he is sent unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of a hard language. These people are under the hearing. They know the language of the kingdom. But to the house of Israel, not too many of a strange speech and of a hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely, had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto me. Now, verse 7, I think, just reveals on who this Israel is, and it clearly is a picture of the corporate body in this case, because God is saying, the house of Israel will not hearken unto me. If it was the house of Israel being the body of Christ, indeed the house of Israel would hearken unto him, because he makes us to will and to do of his good pleasure. He opens our ears, and we respond. But this house of Israel will not respond, will not hearken unto me, for they will not hearken unto me. For the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads.
Adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not,
neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, and hear with thine ears. Now the Son of Man, which here is in, is Ezekiel in this picture, he is representative of the body of Christ. Son of Man, he is representative of Christ. He is representative of the children of Israel, the true body of Christ, the true church of God. So, verse 10, Ezekiel 3, verse 10. Moreover, he saith unto me, Son of Man, Son of Man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, and hear with thine ears, and go get thee to them of the captivity unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of a great rushing, saying, Blessed be the glory of Jehovah from his place. I heard also the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touched one another, and the noise of the wheels over against them, and the noise of the great rushing. Now, the wings, this idea of the wings of the living creatures touching one another, and the noise and the wheels over against them, and the noise of a great rushing. I think this might, in all likelihood, identify with the corporate church. We've looked at the four beasts, and I know we've looked at the beast of the Old Testament also, and I think this language would relate to the beast of the Old Testament, which are very similar to the four beasts of the New Testament, a little bit different. There's a lot of similarities, but they are a little bit different, the four beasts of the Old and the four beasts of the New. And I think that has given us a picture of the corporate Israel, corporate body of Old Testament, and corporate Israel, the church of the New Testament. And of course, we have two different pictures, but basically it's the same thing. One, of course, is before Christ came to do the work on, that he came to do, to pay for the penalty of sin, and the other after. Let me see where I'm at. I'll pick it up back in 11. And go get thee to them of the captivity, unto the children of the people, and speak unto them, and tell them, thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of a great rushing, saying, Blessed be the glory of Jehovah from his place. I heard also the noise of the wings of the living creatures. And of course, now, here again, there is a great voice of a great rushing, and it comes from behind him, and it's blessing be the glory of Jehovah from his place. It is identifying with the voice coming out of the throne, and it is the voice of the Holy Spirit. It is the voice of God, and yet at the same time, there is a noise of a great rushing, and a noise that the wings of a living creature. He is that noise also at the very same time, and it's a picture of the corporate body. You know, as we're going to look at this, we're going to, again, as we relate the belly being a picture of the belly of the beast, and the belly being a picture also of the corporate church, and the church is the holy city, the Jerusalem below, that is in view in the sense of the corporate body, and it is the place where God has used to plant the gospel seed and to create a vineyard and so on and so forth, and it is sanctified, and he refers to them as the holy city. And at some point, we hear, as God tells us, how has the holy city become a harlot? And we see how it becomes not only a harlot, but a cage, a prison for every hateful bird, and so on, any fowls of the air, and so on. But it is interesting language when we read a verse like, out of our bellies will flow rivers of living water. You know, when we preach the gospel, and that is the living water. The idea of preaching the gospel in a corporate church during the church age is an interesting picture. We see out of the belly comes rivers of living water. Out of the corporate church, as long as the true gospel is being preached in the churches, and the body of Christ is dwelling within those churches, then out of the belly, out of that corporate church, flows rivers of living water, the gospel. And we see this kind of a picture here with the sounds of the wings of these beasts and so on and so forth, at the very same time that there is a sound coming out of the throne. There is sound coming praising God, the sound coming from the body of Christ or the Holy Spirit leading us through truth. Verse 14, Ezekiel 3, verse 14. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit. But the hand of Jehovah was strong upon me. Then I came to them of the captivity at Tel Abib, that dwell by the river of Chebar. And I sat where they sat, and remained there astonished among them 7 days. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of Jehovah came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, and thou givest them not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from the wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Now, again, a lot of interesting language. There's some familiar phrases here that we've studied over the past few years, particularly this idea of 7 days. And it came to, going back to verse 16, and it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of Jehovah came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. And this gives us that interesting picture of yet 7 days, going back to the days of Noah, that God will destroy the world. And he refers to a day as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. And when we take that and translate that into 1,000 years, it takes us right up into the Great Tribulation, the timing of the end, a 7,000-year period. And here God is identifying a time period of 7 days, and at the end of 7 days, that the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel, unto the corporate churches in this case. Therefore hear the words of my mouth, and give them warning from me. Warn them. And he's talking about that the wicked shall die in his iniquity, and they need to respond, and they need to be rewarned. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou shalt deliver thy soul, because we have heard and we have responded. Again, verse 20, Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 20. Again, when a righteous man doeth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. And this could only be talking, I believe, of a corporate body here, because it's speaking of a righteousness, and yet he says a righteous man doeth turn from his righteousness. And the righteous man, who is the righteous man but Christ? And of course Christ did not turn from his righteousness. And who is a righteous man but the body of Christ? Because Christ dwells within them, and the body of Christ does not turn from its righteousness. But who is a righteous man that turns from his righteousness but a corporate body? You know, we get this picture again going back to Hebrews chapter 6, you know, a church turning away and sowing the seeds of wickedness instead of the seeds of righteousness, Christ being that seed of righteousness. So when a righteous man doeth turn from his righteousness, that can only be a corporate body, someone who has come under the hearing, someone who is sanctified, someone who is under the law and ruled with a rod of iron, and yet now it's time of judgment, and commit evil or commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness, which he hath done, you see, the corporate church did bring forth righteousness that he had done, shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doeth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also, thou hast delivered thy soul. I want to go back and look at another word here, if I can find it in the earlier part of Ezekiel chapter 3 here. The word roll. Give me a minute. I want to look this up in my concordance to see the exact, if I can find the meaning of that. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 2, the word roll. Okay. Yeah, I'm not too sure what this word roll is. I don't get too much information here in the concordance. Let me see how God uses it in another place. We read in Psalm chapter 40, verse 7, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. The word volume is the very same word that identifies with the roll. And I thought that might be the relationship, that it's identifying with the book, it's identifying with the Bible. Eat the roll, eat the Bible, eat the word. And that is what is in view here in Ezekiel chapter 3 when he says, I will cause thy belly to eat. Let's just look at those three or four verses in the beginning of Ezekiel chapter 3 again, which is focusing in on the causing the belly to eat. And again, the belly is a picture of the corporate church. The belly is the picture of where the gospel is being preached. The belly is the picture from where the gospel comes out from. Out of our bellies flow rivers of living water. Out of the churches that we are preaching the true gospel in during the church age comes rivers of living water. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 1. Moreover, he saith unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this volume of a book. Eat this roll. Eat the Word of God. Eat the Bible. And go speak that which you eat. Speak unto the house of Israel. This house of Israel is the corporate church, as we discovered in these verses. We see the way that God has set up the way by which the gospel comes out into the world as we look into the book of Revelation chapter 2. And God sets out the way that the word comes out from the throne through the Son and by the Holy Spirit to lead the body into truth, to declare that truth onto the corporate body that takes it out into the world. And that's the process by which the gospel was going out throughout the church age. And here he says, eat this roll and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth and he caused me to eat the word of God, to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly, cause the church, cause the corporate church to eat and to fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Sanctify them, preach the gospel, declare the truth. As the gospel comes forth out of the high places. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey of sweetness. It is the gospel. Honey is a picture of the gospel. Sweetness is a picture of the gospel. All right. In Habakkuk chapter 3, we read in verse 10, focusing in on when he heard, my belly trembled. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 10. The mountains saw thee, and they trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered his voice and lifted up his hands on high. The sun and the moon stood still in their habitations at the light of thine arrows. They went, and arrows they went. And at the shining of thy glittering spear, thou didst march through the land in indignation. Thou didst thresh the heathen in anger. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for the salvation with thine anointed. Thou woundest the head out of the house of the wicked by discovering the foundations unto the neck. Shelah. Thou didst strike through with his staves the head of his villages. They came out as a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was as to devour the poor secretly. Thou didst walk through the sea. And again, all this language, we're familiar with this. The sea identifying with the world. The foundation on this particular neck that is being discovered is the foundation of unrighteousness. And the neck bears the head, as we read. Let's look at that again in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 13. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for the salvation with thine anointed. Thou woundest the head out of the house of the wicked. And the head is Satan in this case. The head out of the house of the wicked by discovering the foundation onto the neck. And of course, the foundation that is holding that head up is being pictured as the neck. And it is a poor foundation. Thou didst strike through with staves the head of his villages, his homes, his dwelling places. They came out of the whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was as to devour the poor secretly. The poor is who the gospel is to preach on to, and they come to kill their brothers, to devour them secretly, quietly, unknown, unbeknownst. Thou didst walk through the world, through the sea, with thine horses. The horses identify with the corporate churches, through the heaps of the great waters. When I heard, my belly trembled. This is judgment. The belly trembling is in the church. That's what's taking place. You know, we read in other places in the Bible where it talks about trembling during the time of great judgment, during the time of the great tribulation, that there is a trembling. You know, people make off as if all is well, but deep down there is a spiritual trembling. There is a problem. There is something wrong. They sense it. They know it. And they build this wall to prevent themselves from looking to see the truth. They prefer the lie. They hold their ears as they gnash at you with their teeth. And the idea of holding their ears is they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. And so they know something is wrong. We see the picture of Stephen, how they killed Stephen. They held their ears and they gnashed at him with their teeth, and they killed him. When I heard, my belly trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. And who do we rest in? We rest in Christ. That I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be on the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in Jehovah. I will joy in God of my salvation. Jehovah God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon the high places, upon the mountains, that is, the high places, preaching the true gospel, to be found standing, declaring the truth. He will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. So when I heard, my belly trembled. And again, the picture of the belly is the picture of the corporate body, that which goeth into the belly. And we get another picture here of a belly in Jonah. And let's look at the first chapter of Jonah, at least some verses lead us up to the belly. Well, we'll have to start at the first verse, I think, and it leads us up into the belly of the fish, And this, remember, the Lord relates this idea of the, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And he takes the, you know, the idea of what has come out of the world, and now has taken the idea of what's coming out of the church, out of the earth, out of the place where the gospel seed is sown. You know, as we continue to develop this, we'll start to see how this is the sign of the Son of Man. You know, and God is then relating what what Christ did in the work of his salvation, and giving it the language of a sign. No sign shall be given thee but the sign of Jonah. And now the sign of the Son of Man, we now look back to the cross to get the language for the sign of the Son of Man, the body of Christ coming up out of the earth. And that's where we're going to end up building this picture as we get into part two of this study, which I had mentioned has already been done, and the name of that study is Two Signs. But Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of Jehovah came unto Jonah and said, at the son of Amittai, saying, Jonah, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish, from the presence of Jehovah, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them into Tarshish, from the presence of Jehovah. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it to them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for the worst, for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation, and whence cometh thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear Jehovah, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, What hast thou done? Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of Jehovah, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, Well, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wroth, and was temperous. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless the men recovered. The men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea wroth and was temperous against them. Wherefore they cried unto Jehovah and said, We beseech thee, Jehovah, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Jehovah, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Now we do know that Jonah, of course, is a picture of Christ. Christ relates back to Jonah, as Jonah is 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Here is a picture of him being cast out of the ship into the sea. He sinks into the sea. To sink into the sea is to sink into hell. And that's a picture of the work of Christ becoming sin for us. And again, the sea is the world, the picture of the world heading for hell. To sink into the sea is to become part of the world and to be heading to hell with the world. And this is the picture that we see spiritually here. Then the men feared Jehovah exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto Jehovah and made vows. Now Jehovah had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And again, an interesting picture. Here is Jonah cast into the world. He is now in the belly of a fish, the church in the world. I believe this is a picture of the corporate Israel, the corporate church of Old Testament. And we'll see the belly, the heart of the earth is going to identify with corporate Israel, New Testament church. So here Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed unto Jehovah his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto Jehovah, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. Interesting picture of the floods compassing him about. The flood of false doctrine, I think, is in view. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again towards the holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to my soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with the bars was above me forever. Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption, O Jehovah my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered Jehovah, and my prayers came in unto thee, unto thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of Jehovah. And Jehovah spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Now, vomiting out Jonah upon the dry land, and I think that's an interesting picture too. You know, we see how Christ leaves the church of the Old Testament in Matthew 23, and then he builds the church thereafter. I will build the church, my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail, as he builds the church of the New Testament. And there may be a relationship with this idea of the fish that vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. The picture of the dry land is a place with no water. It's without gospel. Now, of course, the dry land is really given as a picture of the earth, and that indeed is what is in view, and he is commanded now to bring the gospel, and he does bring the gospel. And I'm not too sure exactly, you know, there is another picture of Jonah, and I'm sure he identifies with the spiritual body, the body of Christ. And I'm not too sure how to understand his rejection of wanting to bring that message, and then what takes place later on as he brings that message into the city, and then the city repents and he gets upset by it. But in any event, we do see some pictures here, and we do know that Christ related Jonah as a picture of himself being in the heart, in the belly of the fish, and he being in the heart of the earth. So he goes on to the city. Salvation is of the Lord, and Jehovah spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah onto the dry land. And the word of Jehovah came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went into Nineveh according to the word of Jehovah. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And I think this city of 3 days' journey is a picture of the corporate church of the New Testament, and those who of course repent identifies with the body of Christ. It is the holy city. It is I think that this city might identify with the elect of God, and this is a picture of them coming into salvation as a whole, maybe. That's what might be in view here. I kind of skip that picture here as I look at this. Let's look at it again, those few verses. Jonah arose and went on to Nineveh according to the word of Jehovah. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, the number of testing, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God. They responded, they heard the gospel, and proclaimed a fast. The idea of a fast that is in view in the Bible is the proclaiming of the gospel, and put on sackcloth, walked humbly. They didn't walk in scarlet and purple and the colors of royalty. They walked, they put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even onto the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robes from before him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And this may be a picture now of Christ coming off of his throne, coming into this world, laying aside his robe, and taking on humility, and sitting in ashes. The idea of sitting in ashes is becoming a burnt sacrifice, I think, might be in view here. Sits in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let them walk humbly and cry mightily unto the Lord, unto God. Cry out for mercy. Yea, let them turn every one from their evil way, to be changed in the twinkling of an eye, for our hearts to receive our resurrected souls, to have a change of heart, to turn from our ways and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, and they turned from the evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. All right, we're going to move on from Jonah. I just wanted to bring out some of these pictures, which I think is very interesting and helps us to build a better picture of the belly, in this case the belly of the fish. And Christ had related directly to this and related this to the heart of the earth. You know, and it could be that Jonah at some point now starts to identify as being a figurative picture of Old Testament Israel, maybe. And that's why he is upset. We kind of get maybe that picture. But we're not going to work that out today. Maybe another time we'll come back and look at the whole book of Jonah. But let's go on. A very interesting picture we see here now as we're starting to develop this in Genesis chapter 25, verse 23. Very same word as belly that we've been looking at, and now we're seeing it interpreted as the womb. And we're going to see two nations. And Jehovah said unto her, two nations are in thy belly, or in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And that's a very interesting picture. You know, who was born first? You know, being in a corporate church, and if that church identifies with the belly and identifies with the womb, and the body of Christ comes out later, at the end of the church age we come out, we kind of get the picture maybe of the unsaved in the church coming out of the womb first, from the standpoint that they still relate to the world. They still come out into the world. And they're relating, you know, Abraham had two sons, and here are the picture of two nations in a womb. So maybe that might be a picture that we might see here with this idea that the elder being born, coming out of the womb first, and then the body of Christ, the younger, and the elder has to serve the younger. In Jeremiah, we read in chapter 51, verse 33, for thus saith Jehovah of hosts, the God of Israel, the daughter of Babylon is like a threshing floor. It is time to thresh her. Yet a little while, and the time of a harvest shall come. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, hath devoured me. He hath crushed me. He hath made me an empty vessel. He hath swallowed me up like a dragon. He hath filled his belly with my delicates. He has cast me out. The violence done to me and to my flesh be upon Babylon. Shall the inhabitants of Zion say, and my blood upon the inhabitants of Chaldea, shall Jerusalem say? Therefore, thus saith Jehovah, behold, I will plead thy cause and take vengeance for thee. I will dry up her sea and make her springs dry, and Babylon shall become heaps, a dwelling place for dragons, an astonishment and a hissing, without an inhabitant. They shall roar like lions, they shall yell as lions whelps. And so clearly we see a time of desolation. We see a time of being a dwelling place of dragons, the fowls of the air. Dragons identify with Satan, the devils. An astonishment and a hissing without inhabitant. The Holy Spirit is not dwelling there. He will come out. But the interesting picture is what Babylon has done to Jeremiah, who is representative of the body of Christ here. Babylon hath devoured me. It has eaten me up. It hath crushed me. You know, the saints are overtaken. We read about that in Revelation. I think this is another language that we see of being overtaken. He hath swallowed me up like a dragon. And where has he been taken to? Into the belly. He hath filled his belly. The corporate church had been filled with the things of the body of Christ, and with my delicates. I think that identifies with the Bible, the Word of God. He hath cast me out. To be cast out is to be killed, to be cast away. The violence done to me and to my flesh be upon Babylon. And I think this flesh is identifying with bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Jeremiah, again, representing the body of Christ, and the head of that body being Christ himself. And the violence done unto me, the body of Christ, or into my flesh, the whole body, be upon Babylon, shall the inhabitants of Zion say, and my blood upon the inhabitants of Chaldea, shall Jerusalem say. John chapter 7 verse 37. What should be coming out of the belly during the church age? In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth in me, as the scripture hath say, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And when the body of Christ is ruling and reigning with Christ for 1,000 years, that is a picture of the church age, Christ being the head and the true ruler, and us declaring, being prophets, the word of God, off of the high places, the gospel is going forth and flowing out of that church, out of that corporate body, out of that belly, living waters out into the world. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water, and that living water is the gospel. In Romans chapter 16, we get the other picture of what's going on in the belly. Verse 17, Romans 16, verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. They serve their church. They serve their sanctuary. They serve the books of dead men, their church fathers, their denomination. Let's read that again. Verse 18. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speech deceive the hearts of the simple. We see this put forth in another way. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. And why are we weeping? Because they appeared to be our brethren, and we discovered that they were Judases. And I tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversations is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We look at Revelation chapter 10, and again, this word belly identifies with the womb. It's a birthing place. And in Revelation chapter 10, as John is receiving the revelation, and we read in verse 7, "But in the days of the voice of the seventh messenger, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, or to know the end. And these are the days of the voice of the seventh messenger, and indeed God has revealed the end unto us. The mystery of God should be finished." And what is the great mystery? It is the day of the Lord. I mean, there are many mysteries, and I think we've done some studies on the mysteries of the Bible. I'll have to go back and take a look. If we haven't, then maybe that'll be the next study. We'll look at the mysteries of the Bible. But one of the great mysteries is the day of the end, the last day, the day that we are changed in the twinkling of an eye, the focus that we are to be focused in on. We're to be looking forward to, hastening on to, the Bible tells us. We're to be watchmen looking out for that, looking for the day of the Lord, looking for the return of Christ, so to speak. Probably not a good phrase to use, the return of Christ, from the standpoint that we understand that Christ has come one time and he continues to dwell in the clouds. He says in Mark chapter 16, I think it is, "Behold, I will be with you even unto the ends of the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The day star rises in our hearts. We are seated with him in heavenly places." So Christ is with us. He came into the earth, he came once, and he continues with us. "Behold, he cometh with clouds." He's in the body of Christ. He is in the temple. And the other picture of him coming is coming in judgment, the hour of judgment. But throughout the New Testament era, all the way up until the last day, he's been coming in the clouds. "But in the days of the voice of the seventh messenger, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared unto his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, Go and take the little book." Now he's talking to John, which is a picture of the body of Christ, and the commandment is to take the word of God and to preach it unto the nations. And this is the picture that is being given us here. We just saw the end of the world. The revelation has been given to John, and that God is going to reveal this in the voice of the seventh messenger. And I think we can identify that with the seal of Daniel. Seal it up until the end. This is the seal that has been revealed up on the end. And he says, "Go and take the book." The book is the Bible, which is open in the hand of the messenger which stand upon the sea and upon the earth. Now, who is the messenger standing upon the sea and upon the earth? That is Christ. And what book does he have in his hand? It is the Word of God. And it is an open book. It is a book to bring forth the truth. It could be understood. It has been revealed. The seals have been broken. It is an open book. "Take the book," he says. "Go, take the little book, which is open in the hand of the messenger, the chief messenger, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the messenger, and said unto him, Give me the little book. And he saith unto me, Take it, and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter." It's going to be rejected by the belly. It's going to be rejected by the corporate church. It's going to be rejected by the Judases. "But it shall be in thy mouth," as we read in Jeremiah, "sweet as honey." It is the gospel. To be rejected in the belly, but to be sweet in the mouth of the bringer of the word. "And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter." And he saith unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. This is the New Testament era that is in view, the preaching of the gospel, which eventually is rejected by the belly. In Genesis, I think we looked at this verse. Well, we'll look at it again. Genesis 25. Let's look at this. This is a good time to look at this verse. Genesis 25, verse 21. And Isaac entreated Jehovah for his wife. And this is a picture of Jacob and Esau. Because she was barren. And Jehovah was entreated of him. And Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together within her. Picture of Jacob and Esau is Jacob is Israel. His name is changed to Israel, which is the children of God. He identifies with the body of Christ. And Esau identifies with the son of perdition. He represents the Judases of the church. And there is a struggle. The children struggle together within her. And she saith, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of Jehovah. And Jehovah said unto her, two nations are in thy womb. Two families, two peoples, two tongues are in thy womb. Well, actually, same tongue, but two... And actually two tongues, I think we might be able to say that too. But two nations, two peoples, two families, two households are in thy womb, and two manners of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other, and the elder shall serve the younger. You know, we reign and rule with the Lord. We are the kings of the King of Kings. And we are seated with Christ in heavenly places when we preach the gospel. So, two nations are in the womb, and the two manners of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to deliver were fulfilled, there were twins in her womb. Mark chapter 7, verse 14. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entereth into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said unto them, are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into a man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the drought, purging all meats. And he saith, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceedeth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. And that's what comes out of the belly, figuratively speaking, and of course out of the heart, out of the evil heart, and not out of a good heart. Numbers chapter 5 verse 20. And if thou hast gone aside to another instead of thy husband, and if thou be defiled, and some man have lain with thee beside thine husband, then the priest shall charge the woman with an oath of cursing. And the priest shall say unto the woman, and this is a picture of the harlot. You remember the woman that hath not a husband hath more children than she which hath a husband? And this is a picture of what's coming out of the womb, what's coming out of the earth, what's coming out of the church, what's coming out of the belly. Very few are of the Lord. Then the priest shall charge the woman with an oath of cursing. And the priest shall say unto the woman, Jehovah made thee a curse and an oath among thy people. When Jehovah doeth make thy thigh to rot, and thy belly to swell. I'm not too sure about the thigh, but I remember when Jacob, remember, wrestled with God, wrestled with the messenger who was wrestling with God, and remember the angel touched his thigh, and that identifies somehow with the seed. I'm not too sure exactly how to understand that, but here we see the thigh is to rot, and the belly to swell. And this water that causeth the curse shall go into thy bowels to make thy belly to swell. You know, we know when a baby is being worn, when a baby is in the womb, and there is the water in the womb, and of course this water makes the belly to swell. And in this case, the swelling of the belly, the water that causeth the curse, shall go into thy bowels to make thy belly to swell. It identifies with the false gospel. And thy thigh to rot. It's a rotten seed. And the woman shall say, amen, amen, so be it, so be it. And the priest shall write these curses in a book, and he shall blot them out with the bitter water. The bitter water is another gospel. And that's what's in picture. That's what's in view in this womb, in this belly, in this womb. And he shall curse the woman to drink the bitter water that causeth the curse, and the water that causeth the curse shall enter into her and become bitter. Then the priest shall take the jealousy offering out of the woman's hand, and shall wave the offering before Jehovah, and offer it upon the altar. And the priest shall take a handful of the offering, even the memorial thereof, and burn it upon the altar, and afterwards shall cause the woman to drink the water. And when he hath made her to drink the water, then it shall come to pass that if she be defiled, and have done trespasses against her husband, that that water that causeth the curse shall enter into her and become bitter, and her belly shall swell, and her thigh shall rot, and the woman shall be a curse among her people. And if the woman be not defiled, but be clean, then she shall be free, and shall conceive seed. And of course that is a picture of Jerusalem above. This is the law of jealousies. When a wife goeth aside to another instead of a husband and is defiled. And of course the woman that is found to be the woman is found to be clean is identifying with the bride of Christ. We now get to Matthew 12 verse 40, where we read, for as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And so here we see is that verse that talks about Jonah in the belly, and identifies Jonah as being a picture of Christ, and that whale ultimately being a picture of the corporate body, because it is identified with the earth, because he goes on to tell us the Son of Man shall be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And what's in the heart of the earth? The heart of the earth is identifying with the unsaved, with the wicked. It is the direction and the focus of sinners. That's the heart of the earth. We have to have the heart of God. We have to have created me a new heart, O Lord. Renew a right spirit in me. And we know that Christ goes and is numbered among the evil, among the transgressors. All right, that brings us to an end. And again, the second part of this study is called Two Signs, and it does start to build the picture of the sign of the Son of Man. I know when I originally done that study, I started off in looking at the two signs and never really built the picture of the belly, and which being the birthing place, the womb, identifying with the corporate church, and building that picture up so that we can see how eventually that is related to the earth. Clearly God relates this to the earth in Matthew 12 verse 40. The whale, as Jonah is 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, the whale being a picture of the beast, the fish, in the sea, being in the world, and so on. So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, which identifies with the belly of the earth. Actually, the belly of the beast is really what's in view here. And But again, that other part of the study would pick up at this point and deliver the picture of the two signs. And I think by the time we come to the end of that study, we see that it is a clear picture of the corporate church that is in view. And it identifies with that latter sign, which is, we were looking at that last night, as a matter of fact, in Matthew 24, where God speaks about, well, remember, he's up on the mountains, and the disciples come up to him and say, what shall be the sign of thy coming in the end of the world? And then he gives the answer, and it's all the way down, I think, around verse 30, by the time he gets to the point, and then shall you see the sign of the Son of Man. And the sign of the Son of Man is the body of Christ coming up out of the church, out of the earth. All right, that'll end it for the night. If anybody has any questions or comments or any corrections, feel free to raise your hand and pick up the mic.